You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I'm your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off of your next order. And we return here for another week of Locked On Ravens here on this Monday edition episode to open up the week. And here we have our second Mock Draft Monday of the 2021 offseason. Now, we are very early in the offseason, so again, we don't know who the Ravens have signed in free agency because free agency hasn't happened yet. We aren't close enough to the draft where we've had pro days yet, and obviously the combine isn't what it usually is this year, so we'll be able to kind of see more and shape these mock drafts more as the process and as the offseason goes on. But for now, we're just opening up, looking at needs, looking at best player available, and just figuring out the strategies that the Ravens are going to use, trying to take a deep dive, because to be honest, no one knows right now. No fans, no media members, no reporters. I don't think even the team knows right now how this draft is going to go. And obviously, I don't think anybody within any sense of the NFL circles has any idea just how the draft, the whole draft at least, is going to unfold. So here today on this Mock Draft Monday, we'll be taking a look at the mock draft that I put on Twitter for Mock Draft Sunday in this first segment, talk about the players I selected, why I selected them, and a bit about each player. And then in the second segment and the third segment, we'll be talking about the mock drafts that we received via Twitter under that Mock Draft Sunday post. So if you didn't have a chance to post your mock draft this week, I'll be making another post for Mock Draft Sunday next week. And under that post, I'll retweet it on the Locked On Ravens account and everything. And under that tweet, you can put your mock draft to be talked about here on Locked On Ravens. And the Ravens also making a minor coaching change as running backs coach Matt Wise is headed to Michigan to be Michigan's quarterback coach. And the Ravens have already named his replacement as Craig Veersteeg is going to be the new running backs coach, a member of the Ravens coaching staff since 2008. And he's worked closely with the running backs over the course of his tenure in Baltimore. So I think, again, this is a slam dunk hire, or I guess promotion, because he has been with the organization since 2008. And we'll be talking about Veersteeg's promotion later in the week here on Locked On Ravens. But again, in the first segment, we'll be talking about my mock draft that I put on Twitter for Mock Draft Sunday. And then in the second and third segments, we'll be talking about the mock drafts that we received via Twitter for Mock Draft Monday. But with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there's a podcast where they're waiting Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34 for any Ravens news, analysis, updates, free agency updates, trade updates, historical perspectives, statistics, and much, much more. So, with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here and start off with my mock draft that I made for Mock Draft Sunday this week. And my first selection here at pick 27 for the Ravens. This whole draft, just as a little tiny spoiler for what I'm going to be talking about for this first segment, this was a best player available draft. It wasn't necessarily I'm going through picking needs for Baltimore, because the Ravens over the years have gone and really helped themselves out with being able to identify the best player available regardless of need, regardless of position, in taking those players. So here with the 27th overall pick, I picked Jeremiah Owusu-Koamoroa, the linebacker from Notre Dame. And you might be thinking now, well, what do you mean a linebacker? The Ravens selected Patrick Queen, a linebacker from LSU, in the first round last year. So why would they need to take another linebacker in the first round this year? It doesn't fit a need. And no, it does not fit a need. I agree. Linebacker, at least inside linebacker, is not a need. But the talent that Owusu-Koamoroa is, the versatility that Owusu-Koamoroa has, if you have not watched Jeremiah Owusu-Koamoroa's highlights, please go ahead and watch them, because there's something else. He hits hard, he's physical, he's fast, he has some sideline-to-sideline speed, he's explosive. I mean, he is pretty much the full package for an inside linebacker. Now, he's not a traditional Mike linebacker, he's not that traditional guy. In that role, he actually kind of struggles. Where he's best utilized is really in a bunch of different places on the field. And part of that sometimes has to do with what the offense, the opposing offense, is showing in their looks. He excels against spread offenses. He is phenomenal one-on-one in coverage. He's asked sometimes to go in the slot and cover slot receivers, and he is excellent at doing so. He goes in, he covers them really well. He forces fumbles after the catch if he does get beat in some certain situations, because again, nobody's perfect here. But Owusu-Koramoah, he's an impact defender. He was an impact defender at college. He's going to be an impact defender at the next level in the NFL. And this is someone the Ravens could use in a multitude of roles. We kind of talked about Zaven Collins and what he brought to the team a couple of weeks ago. And Owusu-Koramoah is somebody who actually sometimes was used by Notre Dame as their third safety. He would go back and play in that role sometimes. So again, the versatility that Owusu-Koramoah brings to this team, I mean, man-to-man, he's insane. You know, he takes wide receivers really well, and he makes big plays. He really, in some instances, in multiple games, I think that he really might have been the best football player on the field in 2020. And, I mean, that speaks a lot to what Owusu-Koramoah is and how he projects at the next level, because he has a ton of experience as well, and I just think that everything he does fits what the Ravens do. Now, the positional need, again, is not at the utmost importance. You know, inside linebacker, they have Patrick Queen, Malik Harrison, and LJ Fort, but I still think the talent is undeniable, and the Ravens would have to draft a guy of his caliber, and whenever he's available in a mock draft, I mean, it'd be crazy not to take him. Obviously, I'm not going to do that every week because it would kind of be boring talking about him each and every single week. But the talent that he has, it sincerely is undeniable. And the Ravens, if he's available at 27, should take a very long look at selecting him. With pick number 59 in this mock draft, a second round pick for Baltimore, I selected Javon Moehrig, the safety out of TCU. Now, I will preface this by saying that there is no way that Javon Moehrig is available at pick 59. He is an absolute stud at safety. He accumulated 124 total tackles in his 3 years at TCU. He had 7 interceptions, including a season high 4 back in 2019. He's someone who is an absolute stud in multiple different areas of his game. He's a free safety, and that's obviously what Baltimore needs right now. They have plenty of strong safeties in guys like Deshaun Elliott and Chuck Clark. They don't need that. They need a roaming free safety. He's a single high player. He's good at it. He's a good mover. He's fluid, and I think that he's able to work around the middle of the field and protect the middle deep area of the field, which is something Baltimore, quite frankly, missed a bit in 2020. The Ravens used some combinations sometimes of Marcus Gilchrist when he was on the team, and they would just send him on the moon and say, hey, look, you're going to go back and just defend that deep middle part of the field and not really give him a ton of responsibilities. They did it some with Jordan Richards, too, when guys got hurt at the safety position. They put Jordan Richards on an island in the deep half of the field and said, just go play and don't let anybody score a touchdown. But with Moehrig, it goes a lot deeper than that because he and his skill set, again, would just fit perfectly. He's a turnover machine. I mentioned those 7 interceptions. He's someone who is good in a lot of areas in pass coverage. His weaknesses come in run support. He's not a great guy when you're asking him to come down into the box and tackle. He is aggressive, and he's able to do a couple of nice things in run support, but I think that's the one area of his game where I'd circle and say, okay, that might need a bit of improvement there, but at the end of the day, I think he has enough traits, enough good and even some middling traits that can be improved through coaching. And the Ravens have some of the best coaches in the NFL to teach up the young guys, to help the young guys improve. We saw Deshaun Elliott's improvement just throughout the 2020 season. I think Moehrig would be a slam dunk home run hit, especially if he's available at 59. With the Ravens' third pick in this draft, that would be pick number 104, I selected Patrick Jones II, the edge out of Pittsburgh, now kind of getting into the needs that the Ravens have because Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah was best player available, didn't necessarily fill a need. Javon Moehrig was also best player available, and he fills more of a need than Owusu-Koramoah, but now the biggest needs is identified by the Ravens and Ravens fans, Ravens media, and whatnot. Edge is one of those, and Patrick Jones II is someone who I think would be an absolute stud in the Ravens system. I think he's going to be a stud in the NFL regardless of which team he goes to. And so that's why, you know, I'd be pretty happy if the Ravens were able to select him and give him the opportunity to help this Ravens edge group turn it around, especially a unit that has five of their six guys entering free agency in 2021. And for Patrick Jones, the lowdown on his stats is he accumulated 21.5 sacks over his time at Pittsburgh in his 4 years there, had 8.5 sacks in 2019 and 9 sacks in 2020, 112 total tackles, 32 of which came for loss. And for Jones, when looking at his traits and his intangibles, he's 6'4", 264 pounds. He's a big guy. He is strong. I cannot emphasize the fact that he is strong, but his size, I don't think gives him enough credit for just how mobile he can look at times, but he makes an impact as a pass rusher and as a run defender. So I think that for him, you know, he can do those things really well, but he's not going to give you a ton of versatility in terms of being able to drop back into coverage and match up on tight ends and running backs and even some receivers at times. He's not going to give you that, but he's an aggressive guy. He goes at offensive linemen straight out of his stance, kind of explosive in that way. He's also smart. He has a very high football IQ, and for him, I mean, his frame isn't exactly so bulky. You know, his frame, I'd describe it more as a lean frame, but I do think that, you know, 6'4", 264, he's not the smallest guy in the world, obviously, but he does have to be able to develop his hand technique a bit more. He has upside, and in the third round, you're looking for impact players early who aren't going to give you 10 sack seasons right out of the gate, but can give you impact while also growing, and Jones certainly does that, and I think could be able to give the Ravens that, especially at the S position. So I'd love Patrick Jones in this draft for the Ravens, especially at the value here, right around the third, fourth round. Next here for the Ravens with their fourth pick, which is at pick number 132, I selected Des Fitzpatrick, the wide receiver out of Louisville. I'm still on board with the fact that I don't think the Ravens should draft a receiver in this draft unless they trade one of their four young guys or part ways with one of their four young guys, but I do think that if I had to take a receiver in this draft based off of the fit, the value, and the round, or at least the round area where he could be selected, I'd take Des Fitzpatrick. He fits what the Ravens need. He had a great freshman year with Lamar Jackson, and he's a big guy, 6'2", 202 pounds. During his career at Louisville, four seasons, he accumulated 2,589 yards and 21 touchdowns, including 9 in his freshman year with Lamar Jackson and 6 in his junior year in 2019. And for Fitzpatrick, he's someone who was just a steady producer. The stats weren't always there. Louisville had some issues at times, and Fitzpatrick wasn't able to, you know, really display the full skill set that he has. But he's a physical guy. He's a great, great route runner. I mean, insane route runner. He's a decently good blocker as well. Great ball skills when the ball's in the air. He works hard after the catch. I mean, he's someone who I think the Ravens need. They have the speedsters and they have some nice catch guys, but they need the physical receiver who can outmuscle guys, good route runner. And look, he's not going to wow you with athleticism or wow you with speed or anything. He's not like that dynamic receiver, but he is a technician. He's someone who I think could make an insane impact early if Baltimore gave him playing time. So I am all on the Des Fitzpatrick train. I think he will be a stud at the next level. And for the Ravens, this area is where I'm okay with them taking a wide receiver because in all honesty, I think they will take a receiver, and Des Fitzpatrick, he's my guy in this draft. Next, at pick number 169, I selected Shakur Brown, the cornerback out of Michigan State. And Brown accumulated 7 interceptions during his 3 years at Michigan State, 5 of which came in his junior year in 2020. And he's someone who I think could be an absolute stud for the Ravens in their defense. He's someone who can play both outside or in the slot. I'd envision Brown playing in the slot for the Ravens, but again, it never hurts to have that versatility of being able to play outside. A turnover machine, he's 6 feet and 180 pounds. He's someone who sticks to defenders. He showed quite a bit of improvement in 2020. His 5 interceptions in 2020 were a career high by a far margin. And so for the improvement he showed and the ability for him to play a multitude of roles, he played them at a very high level in 2020. But the consensus surrounding Shakur Brown is that the sample size is far too small. His only good season was in 2020, and that's great, but people think that looking back at his 2019 film, there were a lot of mistakes in that film, a lot of false steps, a lot of different things that he could have done better. And so just bursting onto the scene here in 2020, people might think that it was just a fluke season. I personally don't think that. I think he has a bunch of intangibles and showed the improvement. I'm going to give him credit for his improvement. So for Shakir Brown, the Ravens do need a backup slot corner. And I think the Ravens could do well with a guy like Brown as someone who can play both outside and in the slot as well. For the Ravens' final two picks here in this mock draft, I selected offensive linemen, and at pick number 184, we'll start there. I selected Drake Jackson, the interior offensive lineman out of Kentucky, a center at Kentucky. He played really well, and that offense, it was very run-heavy, so he knows how to play in a run-heavy offense. He has the leverage in his hands that he does really well with. He has nice mobility in certain instances, and he's someone who anchors really well. And he's just also a very smart football player. And I think that for the Ravens, he is a guy who can come into their offense and play really well with the experience that he has. I think he's going to be one of the biggest steals of this entire draft class. I mean, he started for four seasons at Kentucky, and he's turned into someone who is just a well-rounded prospect altogether. So I am all on board the Drake Jackson train, especially if the Ravens decide to go with other needs earlier in the draft and they still don't have someone who they feel comfortable with at the center position. I think Drake Jackson could absolutely be that guy for them. Finally, here at pick number 212, I selected Cole Van Lannen, the offensive tackle out of Wisconsin. And this is an absolute mammoth of a man. 6'5", 312 pounds. I mean, someone who is just powerful, extremely powerful. And he's someone who, again, could be a nice fit in this Ravens offense. He doesn't have the best reach or an amazing wingspan or anything, but I do think that with the right coaching, he could be a force in the NFL, and the Ravens do need a backup tackle, and I think Van Lannen could fill that role for them. I mean, in the run game, he is a mauler. He is someone who is going to get to the next level. He is going to be able to block down the field. I mean, he's someone who I think has really nice potential at the next level, and he's someone who doesn't let his blockers get away from him. He sticks onto his blockers, so with Van Lannen, it fills a need with the offensive tackle, and I think that for Baltimore, this is another home run pick this late in the draft. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we'll be taking a look at some of the mock drafts that we received via Twitter, so stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. There are real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets and is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we return with our second segment of this Monday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Oshoka, your host, still talking with you here. And we just got into my mock draft that I did for Mock Draft Sunday. But now we're going to get into some mock drafts that we receive via Twitter, starting off with Time to Fly My Guy, who says, factoring in the Orlando Brown trade this coming week, of course. And I don't know if Orlando Brown trade is coming this week, but it seems kind of likely that it is. Although, really, we have no idea what the Ravens are going to do with Orlando Brown Jr. They could start him week one, trade him in the middle of the year. They could keep him on the roster for the entire season, or they could trade him here in the offseason. And if they trade him in the offseason, they certainly are going to have quite a bit to work with. So here at pick 27, he picks Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver out of Minnesota. He then trades around 1 in 2023, around 2 in 2022, and around 3 in 2023, and receives pick 33 and pick 65. And at pick 65, he takes Tevin Jenkins, a tackle out of Oklahoma State. At 58, he takes Ronnie Perkins, the edge out of Oklahoma. At 65, he takes Joseph Ossai, the edge out of Texas. At 104, he takes Cameron Sample, the edge out of Tulane. At 131, Dylan Moses, the linebacker from Alabama, is the pick. At 169, Damar Hamlin, the safety from Pittsburgh, is at 169. Tamarian Terry, the wide receiver from Florida State, is at 184. And Trey McKitty, the tight end from Georgia, is at 211. So what I'm assuming here is that the picks that are round one in 2023, round two in 2022, and round three in 2023 equate to Orlando Brown Jr. So technically, instead of trading those three picks, the Ravens trade Orlando Brown Jr. to the Jaguars for picks 33 and 65, which honestly is a pretty good deal for Baltimore, all things considered. It's not a first round pick or anything, but it's still pretty good value nonetheless. Rashad Bateman, I've said on the show before, I'm not a huge fan of Baltimore taking a wide receiver in the first round, especially if there are players at available needs for Baltimore that could fit the bill and make more of an impact early. Although, not saying Rashad Bateman can't make an impact early. He's a phenomenal player, a phenomenal wide receiver, and he's going to be a good receiver in the NFL. But I do say that maybe the Ravens would take an interior offensive lineman. And throughout this draft, I don't see the Ravens taking an interior offensive lineman. So what I say is, first of all, I do like this draft a lot. There are plenty of value picks here. Joseph Ossai at 65 is a steal. Dylan Moses has the potential to be the best linebacker in this entire draft. He's just been kind of torn down by injuries. And again, sleepers in this draft like Tamarion Terry, Trey McKitty, and even guys like Tevin Jenkins have a ton of potential here. So I'll even keep the Rashad Bateman pick because I don't hate this pick. I've been on Rashad Bateman and looking at Rashad Bateman ever since last season, and I am a huge Bateman fan. But I will say that instead of three edge players, I would maybe bank on the Ravens taking an interior offensive lineman instead of three edge players. So two edge players and then an interior offensive lineman. And I say that because although Baltimore does have five of their six edge guys entering free agency in 2021 here, I don't think they're going to lose five of their six edge guys. I think that the Ravens will definitely re-sign Pernell McPhee. I think that's almost a given at this point. Obviously, it's not actually a given, but I feel pretty confident that the team does want him back in Baltimore, and I get the sense that McPhee likes playing in Baltimore, and then I think the Ravens will re-sign one of the three of Yannick Ngakoue, Matthew Judon, and Tyus Bowser. So if the Ravens do select three edge players, I don't think there's going to be enough room on the roster for them with some guys coming back from the 2020 team. So if the Ravens were to take a Creed Humphrey if he was available here, a Landon Dickerson, even like a Ben Cleveland, Trey Smith, those guys could all be good options here. And obviously I don't know who is available or not during this draft, but I think taking three edge guys might not be in the cards for the Ravens. Dylan Moses, I love Dylan Moses as a pick. Damar Hamlin fits a need as a safety, and I like that pick a lot too. And then, yeah, I think with the Orlando Brown trade, I'd be shocked if the Ravens didn't take a tackle in the first two rounds here, and Tevin Jenkins certainly fills that void and could step in immediately and play some good tackle ball for the Ravens. So I do like this draft a lot, although I'm not the biggest fan of the Ravens taking a receiver here in the first round. I do know that you can't pass up on talent when it is there, and with the best player available strategy the Ravens do have, there's not even a guarantee Bateman makes it to 27, so if he does make it there, Baltimore will have a difficult decision to make. But this is a really good draft all around. It hits on a bunch of key needs for the Ravens and gives them depth in a lot of different areas. Next here, we're going to take a look at another Orlando Brown trade mock draft here, where the Ravens would trade Orlando Brown Jr. and receive pick 25, 146, and wide receiver DJ Chark. And this is the absolute dream scenario for me, at least in an Orlando Brown trade, is getting a first round pick and DJ Chark. DJ Chark, I love him as a player. I think he fits exactly what Baltimore wants. And then you also get the first round pick and extra draft compensation on top of that first round pick. I love this trade to start everything off. This is from Zach Myers. And Zach has the Ravens taking Jalen Phillips, the edge out of Miami, with pick number 25 or Jacksonville's first round pick. And then at pick 27, he has the Ravens taking Samuel Cosmi, the tackle out of Texas. And then in round two, Creed Humphrey is the pick out of Oklahoma. In round three, the compensatory pick Baltimore will receive, Brevin Jordan, the tight end out of Miami, is his pick. Then in round four, Patrick Jones, the second, the edge out of Pittsburgh. In round five, Darius Stills, defensive tackle out of West Virginia, with the second round five pick, Paulson Adebo, the cornerback out of Stanford. Then with the final round five selection, which is set to be a compensatory pick, Tariq Thompson, the safety out of San Diego State, is the pick. And then in round six, Trey Hill, the interior offensive lineman out of Georgia. So with this draft here, this is again, I think, how the Ravens should do a draft if they do trade Orlando Brown Jr. and if they do acquire a wide receiver in that trade as well. In this case, it is DJ Chark. And so Samuel Cosmi gives the Ravens a good pick at tackle. He is sound, and he's someone who can step in right away. Still some development to be done. But I think that, again, this is a perfect scenario for the Ravens in multiple ways because they're able to hit on a bunch of different needs. And I think one of the more underrated needs is at the defensive tackle position, where Darius Stills is a phenomenal pick there. But Jalen Phillips has been getting a bunch of buzz, as has his counterpart Quincy Roche, and even Gregory Rousseau, who didn't play in 2020. Those three Miami edge players, absolutely insane talent there. So Jalen Phillips, great pick. Samuel Cosmi, great pick. Creed Humphrey and Brevin Jordan, and I'll even throw Patrick Jones in there because we talked about him in the first segment. I mean, all three amazing talents there. Humphrey is someone who could step in day one. Brevin Jordan is someone who gives the Ravens offense another gear. And Patrick Jones is someone who can fill a bunch of different roles for Baltimore, both in the pass rush game and in the run stuffing game. Paulson Adebo, cornerback, at least backup slot cornerback, is an underrated need. Tariq Thompson, one of the underrated safeties in this draft for me, and Trey Hill is someone who could be kind of like a Patrick McCurry in a way, kind of that swing interior offensive line guy. So I think this is a great draft that hits almost pretty much every single need Baltimore has, along with a couple of underrated ones. So I'm all on board with this, especially with the haul that the Ravens would get back for Orlando Brown Jr. Our final mock draft from Twitter here before we head into our final break comes from the Mustard Tiger, and he has the Ravens taking Gregory Rousseau, the edge out of Miami, with the 27th pick. With the 59th pick, he takes Amon-Ra St. Brown, the wide receiver, and then at 104, he takes Ben Cleveland, the interior offensive lineman. At 132, he takes Ambry Thomas, the cornerback, and then at 169, Shaka Toney, the edge. At 184, Cornell Powell is the pick, and then at 212, Alaric Jackson and rounds out this draft. And I do like this draft a lot. I think Gregory Rousseau, again, fits a need. The jury's kind of out on him, though, as I talked about last week, where he didn't play in 2020. They don't know how good he is. At least a lot of teams aren't really sold. There are some teams who think he's a top 10, top 15 player. There are other teams who think that he shouldn't even be selected in the first round. So Gregory Rousseau will be selected in the first round because I think there are teams who view him highly enough to take him in the first round. But he's kind of an interesting and intriguing prospect because when you watch his tape from previous seasons, I mean, he is an absolute beast. And I am personally on the Gregory Rousseau train. I think he's going to be a phenomenal player at the NFL level. Amon-Ra St. Brown is someone who I do like as a wide receiver prospect, although, and again, I don't know who was available in this draft, but if there are better prospects available at bigger needs, I might take them here. Ben Cleveland, another phenomenal sleeper pick. And then this draft has a couple of interesting selections towards the end. I love Cornell Powell, although I don't see the Ravens taking two wide receivers in this draft, especially if they go out and sign a veteran in free agency. I just don't think it lines up, and they'd have to, I think, cut one of those receivers by the time they need the 53-man rosters finalized. Shaka Toney is a nice edge player, but again, two edges, two wide receivers. I would maybe take a safety, maybe in place of Ambry Thomas or something of that nature. I think Shaka Toney's a nice player, but maybe I would take a safety either at 132 or 169. And then for Alaric Jackson, I've talked about Landon Young a lot on this show, and I think that he fits what the Ravens are doing as an offense better. He played at Kentucky in their very run-heavy scheme, kind of like what I talked about with Drake Jackson, who also is from Kentucky. So I think that this draft has a lot of potential. I love the Rousseau pick. Most people don't think he's going to make it to 27, and honestly, I don't think so either. It shores up the Ravens offense with Amon-Ra St. Brown and then Ben Cleveland as well. And then also sleepers like Cornell Powell. But again, I don't think the Ravens are going to take two wide receivers here. And I'd also maybe add a safety. So this is a good draft that gets the Ravens better in a lot of different areas. But I could see the Ravens hitting on a few more key needs here, especially as the draft rolls around. We're going to head into our final break here, but when we return, we'll be taking a look at more mock draft that we receive via Twitter, so stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious with 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bars are healthy, they're great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. So be sure to go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. And we return here with our final segment of this Monday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher is still here talking with you. And now as we move into our final segment, we will be looking at a couple more mock drafts that we received via Twitter for this Mock Draft Monday. And if your mock draft is not read out here in this final segment, I do apologize, but it will be read out throughout the rest of the week here on Locked On Ravens. We'll be doing some more on Thursday and then some more throughout the entire week as well. So be sure to stay tuned in all week here on Locked On Ravens for more Ravens coverage and more mock drafts from Twitter being read out. We're first going to start off this final segment with Josh. And he says, I traded away this year's first and the next 2 years of twos to move to pick 7, where I know I will recoup the seconds with a trade to 9 and get Smith. The rest is me trading around and picking need and value the rest of the way. A- grade for my efforts. And here on the PFF mock draft simulator, it did give him an A- draft grade, but this is more picks than I think I have ever seen in a mock draft ever. So kudos to Josh for that. He does trade pick 27 around 2 in 2022 and around 2 in 2023 to receive pick 7. He then trades pick 7 for picks 9, a second round pick in 2022, a second round pick in 2023, and pick 71. At pick number 9, he takes Devonta Smith, the wide receiver from Alabama. He then trades pick 71 and receives pick 74 and 82, where he takes Creed Humphrey, the center from Oklahoma. The reason his next pick was at 74 instead of in the late 50s was because he traded pick 58 for picks 81, 123, and around 5 in 2022. Then at pick 84, he selects Jalen Mayfield, the tackle out of Michigan. He traded pick 81 for picks 84, 151, and 220. That's where the Jalen Mayfield pick came from. And then he also traded pick 82 that he got earlier for picks 98, 105, and 133. At 104, he took Brevin Jordan, the tight end out of Miami. At 105, he took Deontay Brown, the guard out of Alabama. At 129, he takes Joshua Kindo, the edge out of Florida State. To get pick 129, he traded pick 98 for 129, a round 4 in 2022, and a second round 4 in 2022. At 131, he took Divine Diablo, a safety from Virginia Tech. At 133, he took Richard LeCount, the safety out of Georgia. At 137, Baron Browning was the selection, and to get pick 137, he traded pick 123 to receive pick 137, 177, and 250. At 151, Israel Mukuamo, the cornerback from South Carolina, was the pick. At 169, Charles Snowden, edge out of Virginia, was the pick. At 177, Tony Poljan, the tight end from Virginia, was the selection. At 184, Larry Borum, the tackle from Missouri, was the pick. At 211, Warren Jackson, wide receiver from Colorado State, was the selection. 220, Josh Ball, tackle from Marshall, was the selection. And finally, at 250, Tristan Hodge, the guard from BYU, was the selection. This ends up being 16 total picks for the Ravens, and it's almost a fourth of their roster, and so I don't think this many players making a roster is realistic by any stretch of the imagination. I do think Devonta Smith, Creed Humphrey, Jalen Mayfield, and Brevin Jordan, and even Deontay Brown in there at 105, all home run selections, not even talking about trades here, but those five, amazing. The rest of the draft, It's okay for me. I don't see anything that really stands out to me. Having 16 picks really doesn't appeal to me either. I think the Ravens could move up and down the draft and trade a bunch of these late round selections for picks in future years or something of that sort. But I don't necessarily think having 16 picks is a good thing. I do love the first five picks, and then maybe trading a bunch of the late rounders to move up in some of these situations, maybe move up from 129 or move up from 131. That would really help, but I do love Devonta Smith, Creed Humphrey, Jalen Mayfield, Brevin Jordan, and Deontay Brown as a top five there. And then also getting some of those picks in those trades. I know that a team like the Ravens does like to trade a bunch. I don't necessarily see the Ravens trading this much, but hey, crazier things have happened. So for the Ravens, I do like the top five picks. Other than that, I see some talent, but I would try to trade some of the late round picks to move up with some other picks so that I wouldn't have a 16 player draft class. Our final mock draft here comes from Reza, and at pick 27, he takes Elijah Vera Tucker, the interior offensive lineman. At 59, Joe Tryon, the edge. At 104, Hunter Long, the tight end. At 132, Seth Williams, wide receiver. At 169, Trey Hill. At 184, Drake Jackson. And at 212, Marco Wilson. This is a great draft in terms of need-based drafting. I think Elijah Vera Tucker is a phenomenal player. I think drafting an edge in the second round, there are a bunch of good edge players here between Carlos Basham and Joseph Ossai. Maybe Aziz Ojulari falls this far, although I don't think so. But getting an edge in the second round, I do like a lot. The Ravens also, I think, will be in the market for a tight end during this draft. I don't necessarily know where, and if it's not in the draft, I certainly think they'll sign one in free agency. I think Seth Williams is a very intriguing prospect as a wide receiver, and in this range, in the 132 range, is where I would be okay with them taking a wide receiver, even with all the young guys they have on their roster. Trey Hill has a ton of potential. Drake Jackson, we talked about him in the first segment. And Marco Wilson, again, cornerback, a very sneaky need. If there's anything I would change in this draft, I know Elijah Vera Tucker ends up projecting out to guard, and the note Reza left under his mock draft says no trades plus Orlando Brown Jr. gone, so kicking Elijah Vera Tucker out to tackle seems like the likely scenario here, but maybe taking a safety where Trey Hill is, because I love Drake Jackson, I'm a little less high on Trey Hill, so maybe taking a safety for that need for Baltimore, because safety for me is an underrated need of this team. But overall, I do like this mock draft a lot. It gets the Ravens help in a lot of different needs for this team and sets them up really well for the future. That's all that I have for you today. When we get back tomorrow, it's more Ravens talk from us, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.